Hey, it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass, and do you love comic books? Do you have opinions about comic books? Do you like hearing opinions on said comic books? Then you need to make the great escape, and it's a small leap into another world we call the Pull Bag, and you'll only find it here on the GCRN, otherwise known as the Geekcast Radio Network.
Yo, Joe! TF2 and Mike here, and before we get into this super-sized episode of The Pull Bag, I want to say I screwed up. Apparently, I didn't post mine and Jesse Early, a.k.a. Matrix Prime's Duke and Cobra Commander number 2 review here inside The Pull Bag. You can find the original file over on his website, anothercomicreview.com. But here it is here as well for all of you, the Pullbag listeners. Nothing has been changed. Nothing has been edited. Whatever Jesse edited the way he edited it is how it is. The only thing that's changed is I've added the TPB stuff around the actual episodes. And there'll be an ad break in between issues 2 and 3. So there's that. This is episode 547 of The Pull Bag, Skybound Entertainment's Duke and G.I. Joe. Duke and... God. Ock. Duke and Cobra Commander, issues numbers 2 and 3. Enjoy, and as always, make your greatest game into comics and jump inside The Pull Bag today.
Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse. I am joined, as always, by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Do you know where your comics are?
By the way, I haven't recorded this late in the day since doing old TF Wire episode. It used to be every Sunday at this time. We would record. Mm-hmm. So in this episode of Another Comic Review, we'll be talking about Duke number 2 and Cobra Commander number 2. Kick things off, let's go with Duke number 2 first. So this is by Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, and Jordi Belair. I think that's how you say her name.
Yep.
His name? Her name? Jordi?
I don't know, but yes, that is correct.
Okay. So as always, quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. Codename G.I. Joe continues. Conrad Hauser, a.k.a. Duke, is on the run from the very government he trusted, investigating secrets that may be more than meets the eye. Now he's about to meet the last person any G.I. Joe fan ever expected. Are they friend, foe, or in it for themselves? So my quick rundown. So we open with a character named Clutch. By the way, as someone who didn't grow up with G.I. Joe, I have no idea who Clutch is. He's apparently a character. There's a toy of him. So apparently he is a thing. So he's living in a camper in the middle of a junkyard. He's looking at news on his phone of Duke, who is wanted for murder. Clutch goes on about his day, but is startled by Duke, who flings open the camper door and proceeds to bro out with Clutch as they give each other the manliest hand grip ever. Seeing that Duke is in rough shape, Clutch helps remove bullets from Duke after the last shootout and patches him up. Clutch starts messing around with an electronic device that Duke was carrying from Dr. Burkhardt when it suddenly turns on and shows a globe projection with a red mark somewhere in the American West. As Duke is ready to leave, Rock and Roll has tracked him down and begins firing upon Duke and Clutch, who try to escape in a vehicle but are stopped by Stalker, who takes out the tires using a long-range rifle. The two are taken into custody and held as prisoners at the pit, where they encounter a glasses-wearing woman dressed in black.
First of all, just so we're clear and just so the audience doesn't come after us, Clutch, also sometimes known as Double Clutch, so he's kind of like punch counter punch. He is originally from Real American Hero, the old animated series. At first glance, Clutch may not seem to take the part as one of the Joe team's best drivers. He likes to keep his hair slick and shiny. He regularly keeps an unshaven appearance and even fancies himself as a ladies' man. This is from the old cartoon thing, but I don't know how he's going to be here.
I said that definitely carried over into the comic here.
It's not a bad thing, I guess. You know, it is what it is. But he's had, like you said, he's had multiple action figures over the years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I really digged him in here. And this, this I got to say, as bad as Skybound is on the coloring for the letters and the creative pages, they do amazing on the G.I. Joe stuff, except when it maybe is like red in the background. But like, I can read everything on this Confidential Duke page, where it has all the creative listing, and where like I can read it all. It's fine. It's great. Do this with Transformers, Skybound.
Yeah, whoever's in charge or responsible for the very beginning of this comic and the very mm-hmm. end of the comic where they've got the letters, doing fantastic job.
Yeah, absolutely. So Andres Juarez, logo and publication design. Let's see here. Let's editors. I assume the letter Russ Wooten would, he's the letterer, so I assume maybe he's in charge of this. I don't know who makes the decisions over there. No, I enjoyed this. I wasn't sure. Like, honestly, I don't even, folks, we weren't even sure if we covered this. We discussed this off air, and I'm going to bring it up on air because, really, seriously, you didn't like the first issue pretty much. And honestly, I had to reread it. I read them both again. Because I did not remember that. Like, I remember certain parts of the first issue, but like nothing going into this other than the, like you mentioned earlier, the basic plot of it. Like, I didn't remember anything. And in this issue, we have so much going on between Duke and Clutch and all the quote unquote new characters. And by new characters, folks, I mean the characters that are getting introduced into this comic. Not necessarily that they're new in the G.I. Joe franchise. And then that ending, man. Oh, damn.
Yeah, so I guess let me throw out my quick synopsis or thoughts here. And then I got a question as to whether or not you thought this was better than issue number one. So, yeah, I think I'm in a similar boat here. I think this issue was more fun, in my opinion, than the first one. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm still not a huge fan of this artwork. But I will say, I don't know if it's just the artwork, and I feel like the artwork in this issue is slightly different than it is in the first. When you look at like the other characters in this, I think that my biggest issue, as we're seeing other characters, is really just how they've drawn or how Duke has been drawn. Mm-hmm. Like when I look at that character, it's like I'm just not seeing Duke.
Yeah.
Right. So like, if you look at the inside cover, right, where it says Confidential, it's in that mm-hmm. blue and black, like the character there, that looks like Duke. But when I'm looking at the long haired, I've got mm-hmm. a disheveled looking character here. I'm like, well,
it's the trope
at all.
Yeah. So it's the trope. So the trope is, and I have family, my uncle for the longest time was a Navy CB. He went through Desert Shield, Storm, all that stuff back in the 90s. So I've had people in my family who were military members, and I've talked to a bunch of military members in the past. And the thing is, when you tell a story like this, usually what happens is they will start out as the clean-cut, normal look that you're supposed to know them as, and then as they, quote-unquote, and I say quote-unquote, go rogue, I want to make sure I'm saying this clearly so people don't think I'm not making fun of the military or shit that happens there at all. So the point is that we are at a point in Duke's whatever career, whatever you want to call it, where he's not thrilled with his government. His government betrayed him. This, that, and the other thing happened. Whatever happened. So think of it this way. We're 2 years away from the 30th anniversary of Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible from 1996. You look at the first Mission Impossible movie, he's got the clean-cut hair, he's following almost all the rules, except he goes against the grain, whatever. 4 years later in 2000, Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt has long-ass hair, and he's doing all this and all that and everything. So think of it that way. It's like it's a middle chapter of him not actually, like, he's going against the grain. He's trying to figure out what's going on with his military and why people are betraying him. And so it's the best thing I can say.
I think I think my biggest issue with just how he's drawn mm-hmm. is that it seems to be inconsistent from panel to panel. Like yeah. if you look at, so like I said, the inside cover there with Confidential, but even like the actual first page where it's right, he's Clutch is looking at his phone and it says American yep. Hero wanted for murder. Like he's, mm-hmm. if you look at Duke's face, like it's very angular, right? It's sharp edges, yeah. angular. But as you go throughout this issue, it's like he's got his face goes from round to occasionally being angular. It's just not consistent. So when it's more rounded, it just doesn't look like Duke, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that could be also the artist choice. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah. So again, I think as I go through this, my biggest issue just happens to be, I think, the way that Duke is drawn. Mm-hmm. The other characters, I think they look good.
Yeah.
There's just something with the style. It's a little too simplistic. Coming off from Transformers, it's a little too simplistic for me. I wish I had just a grittier type feel to it.
And see, I'm almost the, this is not gritty.
Right.
This is not as gritty as Transformers and as Void Rivals and other things they're doing. But because this is not your standard, like, again, using examples, using air quotes, Vietnam mission or something like that, or, you know, this isn't your normal military mission. I see this as, I see all the colors in this, and colors in this are amazing. They're warm colors. They're desert type colors. They're in an area where it's not all bright and they're not in the jungle. They're, you know, and I mean, you get this full on. So again, you talk about Duke's face. Where do you hear that? This is on page 10 of 28. He's like, do you hear that? And we get this full on big splash page of the character here blasting the gun. And I look at this and I'm like, oh, okay, so everybody is tan. All of the backgrounds when everybody is tan are going to be light blue or light gray or like white with, and look at the lettering on that page, the boom. The boom is red outline as far as like the letter part of the outline, because right. it blends into the rest of the sky area thing. So I think they're going with a more desert type of palette so far, at least in these first outdoor scenes up till about page 17 or 18.
Yeah.
Because page 18 is where it kind of switches to the dark blues of the jail cell and stuff. So
I think it's
interesting.
I still like to refer back to issue one in those first two pages where mm-hmm. sort of it gives you like Duke's backstory. And then it's like, oh, right. Then there's a one shot of like Man of Action. And that the way that's drawn is a lot grittier than like the rest of that issue. I wish. And it's obviously the same person, right? That's drawing this. I wish they would have just stuck with that initial artwork like throughout the series. But that's not what we get.
Yeah, that's not what we
get. So anyways, that's my biggest issue as it relates to how things are drawn. And in this particular issue, I think my main issue really just comes down to the way that Duke is drawn. Like I could be okay after going through the second issue. I could be okay with how the art is. I just mm-hmm. wish that Duke's face was consistent. even with like the disheveled look, the long hair.
Yeah.
If his face was more angular, but like I said, as we go from page to page, panel to panel, it's just not consistent. That's really the only character I get that from.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, now that I'm going through this again, I went back to page 6, so where the girl comes in.
Yep.
And the next panel is Clutch and Duke. Clutch is on the left, Duke is on the right. You look at that panel, dude. Clutch could be my Uncle Robert. Seriously, on my mom's side, not kidding. Clutch could be my Uncle Rob, because Clutch basically has the black hair, the black beard, whatever else. He's got the chest hair, all that, and whatever. And Duke looks like he's got porcupines in his face. Like, I don't know what it is with people who are blonde, because I don't know. With guys who are blonde, because I'm not blonde. Anybody looks at any of my pictures, you can see, whatever. But yeah, you're right. It looks like he's either got a porcupine on his face, or somebody stabbed him, or something. Like, it just does not look right in the light. This is basically a standard shot of his character. You go a couple of, where is it? You go to the page where the phone is, page 8.
Yep.
I don't mind seeing him, like, where he says, "That's part of why I came to you." Any idea what it is? Where he's showing him his wound or his whatever. I don't mind that coloring because it basically shades out most of the peach fuzz on his face.
Right. Yeah, coloring's fine, but I mean, even in what you just called out there, he's got a very round face.
Yeah, true.
That particular one. So.
Can't really help that one.
Right, right. Yeah, so I guess the introduction of Rock and Roll and what's the other guy's name?
Oh, I can't think of it.
It's Rock and Roll and give me one second.
What is the other guy's name?
Stalker.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just gonna say that I think my biggest issue with this particular, well, at least with this issue, but maybe the story in general so far, again, artwork aside. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's a lot of assumption going on. Like, mm-hmm. we get the pit, but as a non G.I. Joe fan or someone who has no background in G.I. Joe, where this is supposed to be like an introduction to these characters.
Yeah.
Where the hell's the explanation of what the pit is?
That's probably coming in issue 3.
It's like all the characters in here, like, already know what it is and we're there, we're in it. And it's like, it just references it as the pit. It's like, okay, I guess I got to do some research on my end to figure out what the pit is.
I think it's more of, it's a reference to the place that was in the old cartoon or the comics or whatever.
Right. Now, I've been reading, like, yeah. I said, I've been reading the Real American Hero series as well. And the pit is also featured in that. Mm-hmm. And I only know what that is because, again, it's featured in this series. And I kind of knew what it was coming into it because you and I have discussed it a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, I never watched the original G.I. Joe, or at least not a whole bunch of episodes. Yeah.
It's essentially their headquarters. That's all it is. It's just a code name.
Right. I would like more of an explanation for, like, oh, who are these characters? Like Stalker and Rock and Roll. Like, okay, they're here, but why should I know them? Like, well, what's the backstory?
Well, and again, as much as I will always say, and I've said for the last 11 years that I've been doing my own comic book podcast over on GeekCastRadio.com called The Pullbag, it's one of those things where you either have a lot of time to explore things that you're asking about, things that you want. Like, if you have a series that goes on for 50, 60 issues, you can fit so much story in those 50 or 60 issues. However, when you do something like what Skybound is doing here, with Duke and with Cobra Commander, this is a 5-issue miniseries. Joshua Williamson has so much time and so many areas to fit things into the writing and tell the story that he wants to tell. It's limited space. Both of these miniseries, I'll say this now because I'm sure it'll come up when we talk about Cobra Commander. Think of these as a 2-hour movie. 2-hour movies, most of the time, good writing, you can get a really damn good story. Unless you're planning on having, you know, a 15 or 16 year cinematic universe. And, you know, but like normally a regular movie, beginning, middle, and end for, again, like I said, 2 hours, you know, you can usually fit everything in there that you need. And who knows? Maybe we will find out more in, like I said, issue 3, 4, or 5. We don't know. And that's the cool thing about comics is because you're asking these questions. What if your questions get answered in the next 3 issues at some point?
Yeah, I hope so. Again, Duke number 3 is out. We're not covering it here in this particular episode.
Not yet. So. We will. Yes.
Right.
We will.
So I know a little bit more of the story, but I'm still just wondering, like, right, that's 3/5 of the way through. And I'm like, I don't know where this is going or why I should even care. Right. Because if we're assuming, right, that's what we've been doing is assuming. And we know what that right, when we assume, we know what that means.
Yep.
But we're assuming that after these 2 miniseries are done, right, Duke and Cobra Commander, that there's potentially going to be some ongoing G.I. Joe that is within the Energon universe.
Probably.
And so far in reading, right, both of these series, it's just like, I don't know where any of this is going or how it's going to relate to anything in the grander scheme of things.
And that's the thing. This is the setup. There is no, to my knowledge, and again, I don't work for Image. I don't work for Skybound. I have yet to. I would love to interview the creators and the big wigs behind Skybound and all that and everything else about specifically this G.I. Joe stuff more so. I would love to interview any of them, but Transformers, Wood Rivals, all that. But specifically to G.I. Joe, because they are starting off slow and it's a slow burn and we can feel that it's a slow burn, I was not uninterested in anything in this issue of this comic at all. I think this issue specifically moved well. It started off, okay, here's Clutch. All right, let's go. Where's Duke? Duke's over here. Duke meets up with Clutch. Clutch has to patch him up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We move through. We go through. We have the whole thing with Hawk and everybody else. And by the end, we get the reveal of the character that we get the end of the reveal of that we'll talk about in a little bit when we get to the end of this. But I think this is a solid issue, a solid second issue that, especially after that last page, is going to make any reader want to come back for issue number 3. Especially that last page. If you're a G.I. Joe fan at all, you know that last page. So again, it's a slow burn. And if they do end up doing a G.I. Joe ongoing, great. Honestly, what I would love to see Skybound do is stuff like this. So you got Cobra Commander 5 issues. You got Duke 5 issues. Give us a Lady J and Baroness 2 series, 5 issues each. Do something like that to get us to know. A lot of people that never, like you, you didn't watch much G.I. Joe. You were more of a Transformers guy. I didn't even watch much G.I. Joe as a kid. You know, so that's why I'm loving this, is because I get to learn from a whole new perspective, even though I have the DVDs in my DVD thing.
Right.
So
I don't know. I feel like at this point, right, so again, we're up to 3, but we're only covering up to 2 at this point. I feel like any character, literally any character that's been featured in these first 2 issues would be better to follow than the Duke character that we are. Everybody else seems far more interesting. Like, I want to learn more about Clutch. He seems like a more interesting character to me.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Duke has always been that major military, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. And he has stepped up and done his job the way he's supposed to do his job. I just wish there, like you said, I wish it, and like I said, it's kind of a slow burn between these first 2 issues. I wish it would speed up. And I think probably because I have not read issue 3 yet, because like you said, we're waiting until we get to waiting. Look, folks, the way I've been doing comics for years now is if you're doing a double shot like this, you do it issue 2, issue 3, issue whatever, and you do the same. You don't multiple number them up. Anyway.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I have read it. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Right.
In my opinion, it doesn't speed the story up.
Oh, no.
And the problem with that is, right, there's only 2 issues left. So it's right. Like, what does it speed up then? Like, there's action in it, but I feel like it doesn't really add much to the story, in my opinion.
Well,
so damn. Yeah. Well, with that said, let's move on to topic number 2, which is Cobra Commander number 2 by Joshua Williamson, Andrea Milana, and Elisa Leone, and Russ Wooten. Mm-hmm. Yay, Russ. Yeah. All right, quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. After last issue's shocking reveals, Cobra Commander searches for a power greater than any the Earth has ever seen. When this mission brings him face to face with a fan favorite G.I. Joe faction, will they be friend, foe, or something else entirely? Mm-hmm. And again, my quick rundown. We open with 2 men tied to chairs in a wooden building, blood covering surgical tools laying on a tray. After refusing to talk, one of the captors, aka the Dreadnoks, picks up a chainsaw and goes to town on one of the captives. The Dreadnoks untie the other and take him outside where they wrap him in chain and pull him behind their vehicle till he dies. We cut to Cobra Commander walking through the Florida Everglades to find the Energon signal that he detected. Yeah. With him is a human-looking man that we learn is also from Cobra Law. The 2 begin to fight amongst themselves, which draws attention from a guard in the area. The protector begins to approach the guard, who, feeling threatened, begins to open fire. The bullets appear to bounce off the protector, who grabs the guard's hands and proceeds to headbutt the guard while simultaneously ripping off his arms, leaving the guard a bloody mess. Cobra Commander, who was able to escape on his own during the commotion, encounters a rundown house in the swamp while looking for the Energon source. The Dreadnoughts return to find Cobra Commander, and when threatened, Cobra Commander opens fire on them, destroying their prized Thunder Machine vehicle. As Cobra Commander escapes, Zarana arrives on her motorcycle, proclaiming they are late for a family meeting, and then not to worry about Cobra Commander, as he will never leave the swamp. The issue ends with Cobra Commander finding the Energon source, but falls into the water, which is full of mutated gators with glowing eyes. So what are your thoughts on this issue?
This, as we know from the first issue, this is horrific. This is G.I. Joe meets horror, and it's really cool. And the whole time that we see Cobra Commander and I hear Chris Latta in my head. I can't not hear Chris Latta in my head. At the beginning, man. Ooh, boy.
Do you think this is more violent than Transformers?
No.
I mean, this is like human-on-human violence as opposed to robot violence.
Yeah, violence is still violence, though. I mean,
Starscream never used a chainsaw on somebody.
Give him time. But I would say it's about even right now, just based off of this issue alone. I enjoyed this. I thought it was fun.
I guess I don't know about this series. Like, it was, I mean, fun, I would say yes. I'm still unsure, like, the whole Cobra Law thing, I'm still, like, unsure of what this is, where that falls into. It's part of Earth, I guess, somewhere. It's like a different realm, different dimension. What is it? I don't know. Like, where is it? I don't know. But it's obviously, right, because he didn't, like, leave the planet. He was still on Earth, so Cobra Law is here somewhere. But now he's just, right, Cobra Commander's walking amongst people. He's in the Florida Everglades. And there's some protector guy with him who is obviously also from Cobra Law. And we get an entire page where he's meeting, or I forget what her name was from the first issue.
Oh, yes.
The woman from Cobra Law, whatever her name is. And she's obviously talking to the protector here, whoever that guy happens to be. And she's like holding some monstrous.
The protector is Globulus, I think.
No, because she's saying that Globulus is sending Cobra Commander out into the world.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so this protector guy, we don't know who this protector is, but she's putting this mutated monster starfish on his face. And somehow that turns him into this human looking character with superhuman strength that's able to rip off this guy's arms and, like, smash his face into nothing. Like, who is this guy? Now we have a completely different character, and we know even less about this guy, who isn't even the main character in the series. But clearly we should care about him because they introduced him. He just took out a human being. He's supposed to be there protecting Cobra Commander. It's like, who is he? I don't know.
That scene just... I don't know. It was weird. So you have the two of them in the Florida Everglades, and they're doing what they're doing. And then you have that one page with that scene you just mentioned. And I'm like, that's weird. As far as what Cobra Law is, again, going back to the old animated series, ancient civilization that once ruled the earth but retreated to a hideaway in caves in the Himalayas. So it's Cobra Law is supposed to be located in the Himalayas, at least in the old cartoon. I don't know where it's going to be located here, but...
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. But the guy's like, in addition to superhuman strength, like, bullets also bounce off him. It's like, what is this thing? So then we cut to Cobra Commander, who, again, is found the Dreadnoughts house or shanty or shack or whatever you want to call it. And then with inside there, it's like another fucking house of horrors, right? There's like half a body hanging. There's like an arm hanging, and you see like ribs hanging out there. There's just a head hanging there. It's like, what the hell is going on here in the Everglades?
It's Florida, man. Don't ask questions. Just go with it. Like, I mean, crazier shit has happened in Florida than this.
I mean, that's true. That's true. So, you said you also did not watch much of G.I. Joe growing up. You've got the series. No. So you obviously watched it, I imagine. But do you know?
No, that's the thing. I haven't watched it yet. I bought it on sale at Walmart a couple of years ago, and it's been sitting in my DVD thing for forever.
So in what you have seen or what you know about G.I. Joe in either just research or whatever, do you know who the Dreadnoughts are?
Yeah, they're...
Because I know we talked about it in the last episode where we talked about Cobra Commander number one, because they were going to be featured in this episode. I just know, like, if you had any background about who these who these characters were, or who the woman is here at the end that rides in the motorcycle. Because it says her name is Zarana, and I don't know who that is. Like, I did look her up, and she's obviously part of this group, but it's like, okay, now we're introducing yet another character. It's like, I don't know, like, who should I be paying attention to in this series? At least with Transformers, I will say this, right? So, we know there's different factions. It introduces us to all of the characters, and I feel like of the characters we've seen, whether it be human or Transformers, I feel like, and we did talk about this, I guess, in the last episode, but we're talking about the latest issue of Transformers. I feel like we do get, for the most part, a good sense of like who the, what I want to say here, a good sense of the characterization of like each character that is introduced to us in the issue. Whereas here, it's just like, you're throwing characters at us, and I feel like the same thing with Duke a little bit.
Yeah.
Just keep throwing characters at us, and I don't really have any background or knowledge on who any of them are. And maybe that's the difference with Transformers, because I do, and I kind of bring, in addition to what's presented in the comic, I'm kind of bringing with me, right, the knowledge of kind of who they were in the Transformers cartoon.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just bringing my own bias in with that.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, again, we kind of danced over it. We kind of mentioned it. I think you mentioned her name once. At the end of issue two of Duke, we see the Baroness is in the pit, and the pit is the G.I. Joe headquarters. As far as the Dreadnoughts go, they're essentially a reprehensible group of mercenaries, vandals, and thieves who worked for both Zartan and Cobra over the years. So they're essentially just a mercenary group that isn't exactly tied to Cobra, but they've worked with and for them before.
Gotcha.
So they're kind of like, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's why I'm loving learning about this, because the way I'm looking at Duke and Cobra Commander, even though I know, like, I know the Baroness's name, I know Cobra Commander's name, we know all the names. But whatever story that Joshua Williamson is crafting between these two series, that's what has me like, oh, I'm paying attention. What is going on here? Because I don't have, nor do I really think I should have to have, the 40 years of knowledge of G.I. Joe. Whereas Transformers, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. Like, we know, we love it, whatever. But This for me is a learning experience, and I love that it's a learning experience. Could I go in the other room and get my giant ass DVD holder and bring out the cartoon and watch a bunch of episodes between now and the next time we record for issue 3? Yeah, I could. Am I going to? Probably not, because I've got too much other stuff I gotta do. And number two, I'm kind of enjoying going in fresh and not knowing and learning and figuring out how this comic specific. This is why I don't really try to compare like other comics to, like, you take Transformers Marvel US and IDW Publishing, two very different continuities. You can make some comparisons for characters, but the stories are completely different, kind of thing. So I don't know. And that that scene on the top of page 17, the bang 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 where Cobra Commander's firing his gun, that is an awesome image. I love that. That is so cool.
Pretty cool, yeah. Got two questions for you. So this ends with Cobra Commander falling into the water.
Yep.
There's obviously some sort of energy source down below, because that's where we see a glow.
Yep.
But we also see these mutated gator things with glowing eyes. What do you think is going on there?
Okay, I'm...
gonna sound stupid when I say this, but I think they're Alicons, or they're going to be Alicons, or somehow we're going to get Alicons from Quintessa out of this. I don't really think that's going to happen, but looking at this gator close up with the, like you said, with the glowing eye, I'm like, ooh, an Alicon. That would be really cool. Or it could be a Sharktacon reference. Who knows? I don't know. But again, it's cool. It's fun. It, you know.
So here's my second question. So Cobra Commander number one, it ended with Megatron being alive, mm-hmm. right? So he was in Cobra Commander's lab, in Cobra Law, presumably yep. in the Himalayas, right? At the end of Transformers number four, we see Megatron encased in ice, missing his right arm. We know the right mm-hmm. arm holds the fusion cannon. We know that presently in Transformers, whenever that takes place, Optimus currently has Megatron's arm attached to his own body. Mm-hmm. Within issue four, where we see Megatron frozen in the ice, he has his left arm intact, but it is also frozen in ice. Mm. At the end of Cobra Commander number one, we see Megatron fully functional, but no arms whatsoever.
I don't know which arm is going to be which, if he's not going to have any arms, if he's going to be arm. I have no idea about Megatron's arms.
So we know Duke and Transformers are occurring at the same time.
Right.
When do we think Cobra Commander is occurring?
Ooh, that's
within the timeline.
That's a good question because, yeah. I would so if they are going to somehow, and I don't know how because it's there. I'm not attached to it, folks. I'm just assuming. I'm making an ass out of myself over here. Duke and Cobra Commander end at issue 5.
Yep.
Whatever. I'm not even looking up any solicits right now or anything like that, but I can if you want. It's one of those things where since these are miniseries, they have to have an end, or they have to have Duke will return in Void Rivals, and not that would make any damn sense, but or Duke will return in blah, blah, blah. They have to make some sort of connection somewhere. G.I. Joe and Cobra have to go somewhere within this Energon universe, and we don't know where that is yet. And again, that's why I'm loving this, because I don't know, and I'm learning about it, and yeah.
So I'm wondering if Transformers and Duke are taking place at some point in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And Cobra Commander is taking place at some point, either, you know, present day or some point in the future, where right. he's already been able to, he found Megatron in the Himalayas. He's extracted Megatron. He's right. got him in his lab. Obviously got him functional. He didn't seem to be functional at the end of Transformers number four, frozen in the ice. Right. But we know in the first end of Cobra Commander number one, right, he is functional. Just minus his other arm, wherever that went. Maybe that got stuck in the ice. Couldn't get it out. So I'm wondering if this may converge at some point in the near future, right? Maybe we reach the end of the first story arc of Transformers. We reach the end of Duke. We reach the end of Cobra Commander, and they all kind of line up.
Maybe. I mean, that without having a, right now, without having a dedicated G.I. Joe title for the Energon universe, that's probably, unless they are creating one, again, the way, and I say this not for the listeners, I say this more for you, the way comics work, dude, is this is why solicitations are here. Like, you get the May solicitations, you usually get them, like, back in December of the previous, like, it's because they have to build up this anticipation. They have to show you. They have to tease you. And it's one of those things where if they were going to create a G.I. Joe title, we would have heard about it by now. Especially on Instagram, because Skybound is all over, which is great. I love it. I'm not complaining. Skybound does stories on Instagram all the time talking about this stuff. And I watch those every single time because I may not remember what the hell they said at this very moment as we're recording this podcast. But at the time I was like, oh, so that's what they're doing. That's cool. It is what it is.
Again, we'll soon be back down to just two series though. Cause Void Rivals starts up again in just a few days, March 6th.
Yep.
Transformers obviously is ongoing.
Yep.
But we've only got three issues left of Cobra Commander, and then we're just back down to two series mm-hmm. again.
And that's fine for me, because as Skybound has these licenses now from Hasbro, and they are creating content, and they are creating comics, and they're doing all this stuff, I want them to take their time. I don't want them to rush. This is why I said I would love to have more G.I. Joe character miniseries like this. This is, you will find out if you decide to go further beyond More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise and IDW. IDW did a bunch of character spotlights where it's just single issues, a snapshot of like Hot Rod, Megatron, blah, 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 insert whatever character here.
Right.
You know, I think that's cool. I don't think we currently need a full-on G.I. Joe comic. I think we need snapshots to get people in, to get people to notice it. And people are noticing it, obviously. But that's where I think they're going to go, is they're going to maybe potentially do more character spotlights like this, like these five-issue miniseries with Duke and Cobra Commander. And they're taking their time. You never want to rush these things.
Well, I say they're certainly taking their time. I hope I would like to see an ongoing G.I. Joe series that ties into this Energon universe. I'm hoping it doesn't just end.
Absolutely. Do I want to see it? Yes, I agree with you. I just don't want them to rush it. I don't want them to get to the end of Duke and Cobra Commander and say, oh my God, immediately we need a G.I. Joe ongoing. Maybe right. We do. Maybe we don't. Maybe the way comics work, maybe by almost say Free Comic Book Day, which is in May. So maybe by May of 2024, we will get an announcement saying, hey, G.I. Joe ongoing series coming September 2024. Because again, that's how comics usually work. It's usually months in advance of when now actually is kind of thing when things happen. So if
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, because these series are going to end in May, that's when the Free mm-hmm. Comic Book Day is. I was going to ask, like, if that made sense to you. Like, okay, maybe the series is right. Both the series end, and we're done mm-hmm. for a bit. And maybe in the fall, they'll look to relaunch or launch a new series.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if they did do that. That's normally most of the time what will happen. And the good thing is as I've said before on the previous G.I. Joe episode we did, you can cater to two different fan bases. They're all the G.I. Joe fan base, but two different factions inside the G.I. Joe fan base. You can cater to the longtime fans who have read the previous 301 or 2 or 3 or 4 issues of Larry Hama. You can cater to them. Or you can cater to people like us who are the new people who are coming into this fresh Energon universe stuff. And yes, we will eventually at some point on your lovely podcast here do the Larry Hama stuff. But again, I want to make sure everyone remembers that is separate. So if they had a new G.I. Joe ongoing starting in, let's say, September, August, September, something like that, that would be more than fine. Because you start that at the, you know, like you said, the middle of the year, the end, not really the end of the year, but like you said, fall.
Yeah.
You start that then, and then you have going into the next year of whatever it's going to be. That's if they do an ongoing. We don't know what, like, I haven't seen anything as far as, like, what their actual plans are.
Right. I mean, I got to imagine there's going to be a third, because they said they would be running mm-hmm. three at a time, right? Or no more than three?
I think so, yeah, something like that.
Just as a small teaser, I have been reading the A Real American Hero series. Artwork mm-hmm. is phenomenal, but the writing, not so much. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. Well, again, we can talk about that in the future. So, all right. So I think that wraps up Duke and Cobra Commander. Again, as you're listening to this, Void Rivals will be starting up. Or sorry, as we're recording this, Void Rivals will be starting up in just 3 days. 3 days.
Yep.
There's been a long break on that, so I'm really looking forward to kind of jumping back into that universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, if you want to know a letter section that is like absolutely easy to read, the American Hero series, it's like black text. on is like a, I don't know, like a light red, but it, mm-hmm. the way it looks, it just like pops off the page. No issues reading that at all.
Yeah. Same thing with the, that's what I love about the G.I. Joe books is the, you can actually read the letters page if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm looking at Void Rivals, and it's been a while since I've looked at these books, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the issue with Void Rivals is, so they have sort of the last issue, sort of the mm-hmm. same color background, but mm-hmm. the letters themselves, they need to be black. They're just like a darker version of whatever the background is.
Okay.
So yeah, and looking at like the actual letter itself, hard to read. The response is bolded, easier to read. But yeah, the color combination's not so great there. But A Real American Hero, you can read that shit, man.
There you go.
So, all right. So plugs. What do you got for plugs?
I honestly don't know what I'm plugging right now.
You got no plugs.
GeekCastRadio.com. We've got 15 years, 16 years of content, over 3,000 episodes, probably over 4,000 at this point.
You need to go back and count them one by one, man.
What?
One by one. Just go back and count them.
Are you crazy? Hell no.
Oh, what? You number them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's why you number them. So you can, like, the pull bag has five. Well, as of this recording, it has 543 episodes. I still have to edit episode 544 and 545. But yeah, and most likely this episode that we're talking about here will be cross-promoted over there. It's either going to be 546 or 547. So and the pull bag is on the road to 600. So we're X number of episodes away from that. I did do a couple of new interviews over the last couple of months. I did. I talked with Lolita Romanis, Michael McQuishner, and Christopher Carter. They are the Dynamic Music Partners. They've done a lot of the DC Animated Universe score stuff. Christopher Carter did the Batman Beyond theme. They've also worked on Teen Titans and other musical things for both DC, Marvel, and other projects. But I talked to them about the 25th anniversary of Batman Beyond because they released the season one score digitally last year. And then I talked to a voice actor guy I've been trying to get a hold of for the last 4 years, BZ Cullens. Amazing dude. Really, really, really fun interview. So that's pretty much what I've been doing over on GeekCastRadio.com.
Well, while you're doing all of that and more, you need to, and I know you just mentioned this not too, just a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. but you should try to secure an interview with Daniel Warren Johnson. That'd
yes.
be fantastic.
Yes, it would be.
I mean, and just watching like his YouTube stuff where he does mm-hmm. Either the commentary or you actually get to watch him draw.
Draw.
I know he's gonna stop drawing after this next issue. But he seems like a very, like he'd be like a very approachable type person. Just Absolutely. Seems very easygoing. It seems like it'd be a really great interview.
Yeah, sure. Well,
all right, my plugs. We have a website, anothercomicreview.com. So I don't know how you're listening to this, probably through some podcasting software, but check out anothercomicreview.com. You can check me out on YouTube. I'm at youtube.com/matrix_prime. And you can find me on Blue Sky. You didn't promote your Blue Sky, man. You can find me on Blue Sky at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, early, E-A-R-L-E-Y, .B-S-K-Y, .social.
This is why I'm still on Twitter, because at least I can say, hey, go to Twitter and look up TFG1Mike. That's all I got to say. I don't need
you can do
blue
that on,
sky dot blah, 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 blah.
You can
blah,
do that
blah.
On Blue Sky, though. Just search for TFG1Mike. He's there. It'll come up.
There you go. There's not much content there, folks. It's probably the least content on social. Like, literally, I just posted the other day, and this is funny because it's going to tie into Transformers, my 800th Instagram. But I've been on Instagram since 2019, and I just did my I'm up to 808 posts on Instagram. My 800th post was I finally got the Funko Pop Optimus Prime Grail, which basically is just a gold Optimus Prime with the Matrix in his hands. And I made that my 800th post on Instagram.
All right, then let's get out of here. It's after 8 o'clock now. We've been recording for over an hour.
He's more of an old man than I am, folks. Holy crap!
Until next time. This is Jesse signing off.
This is Mike. See you later.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Slide up to the bar alongside Ryan Daly and a rotating cast of guest hosts as they celebrate the long-running, award-winning television series, one hilarious episode at a time. New episodes of Cheerscast drop every Thursday, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about The New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. But, well, you'll get it soon, I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors, come out to play, yay!
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast, it's audio justice.
No, it's audio chaos, these wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to the Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast, from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hello and welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, hello, hello.
Today is a double shot. We are talking about Duke and Cobra Commander number 3. We're going to kick things off with Duke number 3 by Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, and Jordi Belair, I believe is how you say that name.
Yep.
Quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. Duke's search for answers has led him to a classified holding site for America's most dangerous prisoners. Now he's the most wanted man in the world. Unfortunately, everyone seems to prefer him dead over alive. And by the way, Google Docs does not like that grammar. No.
Yeah, no.
And then my quick rundown. We open at Mars Industries, where Destro indicates to someone named Major Bud that Duke is still alive, and because of the device given to him by Dr. Burkhart, they are able to track him. Back at the pit, Stalker and Rock and Roll contact Colonel Hawk to give an update on Duke, who is now being held in a prison cell on site. Down in the prison, Duke and Clutch meet the Baroness, who is also being held prisoner. Major Bud and his men lead an attack on the pit, looking to take out Duke. Needing additional help, Rock and Roll arrives at the prison to release Clutch and Duke, but takes the brunt of a massive explosion. Duke sets the Baroness free and takes on Major Bud's men as the Baroness seeks to find an escape route. Meanwhile, Major Bud and his men enter the prison and take on the Joes. Duke is taken down with punches to the head and a shot to the leg by Major Bud, who in turn is taken out by the Baroness herself. We close with a potential double cross as the Baroness is standing over Duke with a gun to his head. So, thoughts in review.
Okay, I'm sorry. The whole time you're reading your synopsis, I'm like, it's Major Blood, not Bud.
Are you sure that's what that says?
Yes, I'm absolutely... I'm not that far into the G.I. Joe world, but I've known it's been Major Blood, B-L-U-U-D, for 40 plus years.
Right now. I'm checking it right now.
I'm telling you, it's Major Blood. Major Bud sounds like something from Married with Children or something.
All right, let me check it. Oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. I told you.
Because so I'm like Major Bud. Who's Major Bud?
I'll tell you I thought it was Bud. Because when I'm reading this, so I think I mentioned this in one of the previous episodes, and that, or at least you and I, where it's like I need to wear glasses, but I don't, and I have astigmatism in one eye. So when I look at this, it just looks like it says Major Bud until I zoom in. All right, so Major Blood.
Well, before anyone comes after you, you know, I figure I go after you first.
This is how little I know about G.I. Joe, by the way. So.
And the sad thing is, I don't know. Again, like we've said in the previous episodes that we've done for this is kind of my first foray. Really, I mean, yes, I've known about the Sunbow series, and I didn't watch the Deke series all too much. I watched Resolute in 2010, so I know the characters. I've seen the first live-action movie. I didn't watch the second one. So I know the characters, and I know the characters' names and all that stuff. I just don't know the story that Mr. Williamson and everybody's going to be telling in here. But, yeah, Duke number 3, I like this. This was fun.
I suppose Major Bud is going to lead the attack on the pit on 420.
Probably, yeah.
So you thought it was fun. I guess what do you think about it was fun?
Well, so what I thought was fun was on the previous issue, we get the surprise of the fact that the Baroness is in the pit, and then we get this amazing cover for issue 3 with her on the front. And it's just one of those, like, is she good? Is she evil? Is she whatever? What is she doing? And it's more of Duke's plan, not really his plan, but it's more of his adventure of trying to figure out what's going on. Why does the government have these alien things, or why are they working with these alien things, even though we don't know what the alien things are yet? And then it turns into an escape plan. It basically turns into Duke not wanting to escape. He's not a criminal. He's not trying to go against America. He's not. He's trying to find out what is going on and why people are lying to him. But yet it nabs him in jail. And then we have, like we said, Major Blood and Baroness and everything else. And she keeps trying to convince him to break out. And he's like, no. And then somebody comes in. Major Blood comes in and does all the stuff that he does. I thought it was a fun middle part of the story, of the 5-issue story. And that's something else we'll talk about when we get to Cobra Commander.
When we get to Cobra Commander, okay.
Yeah.
I guess my thoughts here. So, again, I have not been shy about the fact that I'm not a big fan of this Duke series, but I guess of the 3 issues, I think maybe I find this one the most interesting or intriguing.
Yeah.
And I think that's only because the Baroness is there, and it's like, she obviously wants help from Duke to get out of the cell. That's probably just a play to get out of the cell. And then here at the end, right, it's almost like, yeah, I'm going to help you. But, oh, wait, no, there's a double cross, right? You got a bounty on your head. I could use this money. And then it says right in the last page here, next issue is Escape the Pit. So it's like, okay, obviously. And then right, we're looking at the preview of issue number 4 here. It looks like they're all escaping together. So maybe it's not a double cross after all.
Maybe not.
Maybe the cover is just to kind of throw us off the track. I don't know, but. Yeah, I guess now that I know this, his name is Major Blood, as opposed to Major Bud. The introduction to this character, though, just sort of seemed like a waste, right? Because he's introduced at the beginning. We get really no backstory at all. He attacks the pit, and then he's gone. It's like, okay, well, that's it.
Okay, all right. We're going to get into this now. So, all right. We'll get into this in Cobra Commander 2. So what you just said... This is not an ongoing series. This is not something that starts at issue 1 and goes to issue 1000 like Marvel has or like DC has or whatever. This is a self-contained story that has characters in it that introduces you to them, that basically teases you with them. There is no way that the best of the best of the best comic book writer could throw in every backstory of every character in every one of these 5 issues. What they are playing upon, what Skybound in general, I think, is playing upon with these single issue series or these 5-part miniseries type things. Number one, G.I. Joe started out as a 5-part miniseries in the 80s. The original cartoon did. So that's kind of homaging the 5-issue miniseries with the characters. That's kind of homaging that. Number two, like I said, it's Duke's story or it's Duke's comic, and it has all these other characters in it. So you're trying to figure out what the thing with Duke is, and of course they're going to dangle in front of us. Will he die? Won't he die? Do you want him to die? Do you not want him to die? Call this 900 number. Oh, wait, that was Jason Todd. But anyway, the point is that you're not going to be able to get all this character development into a single issue, let alone a 5-issue miniseries. You're just not. Not for every single character. They are playing on the fact that it's been 41 years? Yeah, 83. 41, 42 years for G.I. Joe. And that people know something, even me. I know a little tiny bit about it. So they're not going to give you Major Blood's backstory. They may in a future miniseries called Major Blood. Who knows?
Or Major Blood, yeah.
Yeah, Major Bud's backstory. He found weed one day. He started smoking. Next thing you know, he's dead.
Yep. Special single issue released on 420. Yep.
Yep.
But even still, right? The backstory of the Transformers and Cybertron within the Transformers series was like a page. Like we couldn't get this. The one page with Major Blood sitting there holding the wine glass. With the gun, his leg crossed, like we couldn't get like that page broken up into a couple panels and maybe a little bit of backstory on who he is.
No, not really.
It's like, why do I care about this character at all?
You may care about him in the future, but that's not the point.
He's
of
dead.
This.
He's okay, dead.
Well, he's dead. Yes, fine. If he had stayed alive, you might care about him in the future. But the point is that this is not. We're at the third part. Of a 5-part story. This is the middle. This is the here, let's give you a little bit of something before we go all big and get to the finale of what, because issues 4 and 5 of both of these series, Duke and Cobra Commander, they are going to be explosive. They are going to throw out all the stops. I guarantee you they will. But it has to be a slow buildup to get to that climax.
Well, excuse me. I hope you're correct, because my biggest complaint with this issue is like nothing much changed from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. Which, as we get to Cobra Commander, I'll have the same complaint. Uh-huh. But it's like right where we started in the pit, we're ending in the pit, and other than this Major Blood being dead and them out of the prison cell, I don't know how we advance the story at all.
Okay, so how you advance the story is basically that cliffhanger, and like we said, where we saw, you know, where we see the cover to issue 4 of Duke, where it's everybody's escaping, that you don't know. Again, we don't know what Baroness, like you said, she, by the way, there's a price on your head and I need that money, blah, blah, blah. But she's not actually shooting him in this final panel. She is just pulling the gun on him while everybody else in the background is fighting each other, and Duke is just kind of either standing there or on the ground, or I don't know where, like, I think he's just standing. Yeah. He's somehow, some way, whatever. But Major Blood is dead. Duke is not yet, anyway, because that's always the thing with G.I. Joe. Will Duke die or not die? Like I said before. So it leaves you on a cliffhanger, and it leaves you on, oh, come back next month to see what happens.
Yeah. I'm just not sure that, I'm not sure that the cliffhanger is enough to warrant, hey, I need to come back to see what happens. It's just like, I feel like we went through however many pages this is, 20 some pages, I'm going to assume. And it's like, I do not feel like it's advanced the Duke story, right? We're 3 issues into the comic and it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know where it's going. We only have 2 left.
Yeah.
And by the time we get to that, I feel like all we're going to learn is, the government's now recognizing that we've got Transformers. I feel like that's what the ultimate conclusion is going to be, right? He's essentially fighting with the government here because he believes these things exist. He knows what he saw. Government's mm-hmm. denying that. And I think by the end, they're going to have to come through and say, hey, yeah, they do exist, or they're not. And Duke's going to be on his own. I just feel like the miniseries isn't really going much of anywhere. We're not really learning much of anything. And if we're not getting an ongoing G.I. Joe series once this is over, which we know we're moving on to other miniseries, I guess I don't know what we ultimately get out of the Duke character by the time we're done with the miniseries.
Well, we won't know until the end, but I think what we are getting is we are getting his characterization of he wants to do the right thing. He wants to serve the military. He wants to be the American hero that he is, except the government is doing shady things like the real government kind of does sometimes, and all that and everything else. So, you know, and I mean,
but like when I think of Duke in G.I. Joe, again, I know very little about G.I. Joe, obviously, right? Major Bud.
Right.
Look, I don't think of him as anything else. Like, I think I would always see him as that character of, I guess, is like the what a G.I. Joe character should be. Right. Well, he seems like the leader. Like, I would expect him to kind of go against the government, go against the other Joes. Like, he just seems like the stand up type of G.I. Joe character. I would assume he would be.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what he's supposed to be. But yet, what he's doing in trying to find out what is going on with this transformative conspiracy is that, oh my God, they're assuming he's going rogue, which he isn't. And the other Joes that are with him, oh God, who's with him in this? I forget. What's the guy's name?
Stalker, Rock and Roll.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Clutch. All of those guys, they're with him. They're absolutely with him. They're on his side. They, you know, they're just, it's, I'm trying to think of how to word this. It's G.I. Joe, but without the government version of, like, it's really weird, but it's a thing of he wants to do the best he can for his country, and he's doing that, and there isn't a lot of time. Like, again, we have, in these 3 issues, we've had so many things go on where it's, again, like I said, a slow buildup. There is no real character building for Duke because, again, falling under the assumption that these comics are for us or for our adults of our age who grew up with G.I. Joe. These are not for kids today. These are not for kids to learn about this stuff or anything like that. These are for those of us who have been in the geekdom for four decades. And not everyone has this, like you and I. I have a little bit more experience with it than you do, and you have a little less than I do, whatever. It's not for everybody. I'm sure I could get one of the What's on Joe Mind podcast guys on here, and they'll tell me things that I don't even know kind of thing. But the way that this is going is that they're giving us a story. They're introducing other characters that we kind of know, sort of, and it's going from there. What I will say, though, on the art, Starscream looks great in the flashback. Not flashback, but the in Duke's mind. That's amazing. I love that Starscream image on page 11.
Yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, no. And like I said, here, you know, next issue is going to be the full-on real escape of the pit. And then issue 5, who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
Again, we're 3 issues in. I feel like this story is going as fast as molasses here. So I'm hoping it's going to pick up here. And if it doesn't by issue 4, right, by the next issue, which I guess is coming out here, I think next week.
Is that correct? It's March 27th. March 27th.
Then I don't know that I could recommend this, because if you got to wait till the 5th issue to see kind of any story pick up, I don't know that it's a series I would recommend. So
before we move on, though, I do have to give one complaint about Duke number 3. The letters column is great, works fine. I can read it, I can see it, whatever. The black and gray on the white background is fine, except in my digital issue on page 22, I see the Duke logo from cover 4 or issue whatever number that's supposed to be. And then on page 23, right before the ads, I see the Duke logo with Joshua Williamson's name and the artist, Tom Riley. I'm like, it's like covering up. I'll send you a screenshot of this. I don't know if you see this.
I got it, yeah.
Okay, you got it. Okay, I'm like, how the hell did you guys screw that up?
I was just going to say, that seems like a potential layers issue. Like, I don't know if like the actual physical comic has this as well, but it, to me, just in looking at it, it looks like a potential layers issue. Obviously, I don't think it should be there.
Yeah, right. No, it shouldn't be there. I think it's a mistake, and I'm not trying to fully call them out, but it seems like so far in Skybound's history with these comics, we have an issue with the letters column almost every time. And look, I'm the biggest fan in the world of comic writers, artists, letterers, editors, everybody. And I'm not trying to throw Russ Wooten under the bus at all. Like you said, you think it's more of a layering issue. Maybe it was a print thing. And like you said, we don't know. I don't know if it's in the physical comic, but I just, because I almost kind of wanted to, like, for the first time, I was like, ooh, I kind of want to read the letters section to see what people are saying. And then I see this first thing with the little left-hand thing, and I see, I'm like, I can't read that. Okay, next book, please.
Yeah, what's odd is, I mean, the more I look at it, it might be more than just a layers issue. I don't know what happened, because, like you said, the Skybound logo, mm-hmm. then it's got Duke on top of the EU, says the image down below, and then it's got, like, the price down below there. When on that first page where that starts, and then if you go to the next page, like the color of that changes.
Yep.
So that this obviously looks like it's from two different issues they were working on. Yeah. And then that second one, right, like you said, we've got that Duke, like the Duke title in the background, which is green. And then it's got the, you know, the credits at the top.
So I think what they were trying to do was, and I think they did do this, if I'm sure. I actually already moved on to, all right, let me look here. Do they have the, yeah, see? So, okay. So page 23 of 30 is where the Duke and the full logo is. And then you go to page 26, that is the cover image for issue 4. That, so basically it bled over into the letters somehow. I don't know how that, I know nothing about publishing. I know nothing about putting digital PDFs together or anything like that. I have no idea, but it just like it, it's like it fast-forwarded itself before it could get to the end. It's like, we want you to see part of the cover now. It's like, no, that's more of a mistake than anything else. And again, I'm not trying to throw full shade on these people, but like, how do you make that mistake? How does that happen and you don't fix it, or you don't offer a way to fix it?
I don't know. Like you said, that first page there that doesn't have the Duke logo, it looks like as you said, it's from issue 4.
It's from issue 4.
And then the next one is actually also from issue 4, but it's from the variant covers. So I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's weird. But yes, weird. You can actually read the letters section, which is nice, minus that issue. But yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know. All right, so Cobra Commander number 3. All right. So moving on to Cobra Commander number 3 by Joshua Williamson, Andrea Milana, Annalise Milani, and again, Russ Wooten, our favorite. Woo! Quick synopsis from ImageComics.com. What is the secret of Energon? Cobra Commander isn't the only one looking to harness the alien energy source known as Energon. That means he has to either take control of the new organization he's encountered or destroy them. My quick rundown, I can sum it up really quickly. Nothing happens. No. So we begin in the Florida Everglades with the Protector looking for Cobra Commander, who is now deep in the water fighting off mutated alligators after falling in at the end of last issue. One of the Dreadnoughts seemingly finds him and takes him prisoner. Not sure how that worked. The Dreadnoughts arrive at a local bar, and Zarana gives a speech about the Energon cube they are in possession of and the Cobra Commander has been seeking. Wanting to sell it to the highest bidder, she tells the rest of the gang that someone has been snooping around trying to find it as Xandar busts in with Cobra Commander wrapped in chains. The Dreadnoughts attempt to remove Cobra Commander's mask but are electrocuted by self-defense systems. Pissing them off further, the Dreadnoughts begin to torture Cobra Commander but fail to break him. Between torture sessions, Cobra Commander tries to play the Dreadnoughts against each other, which results in infighting between the group. The Protector tracks down Cobra Commander and the Dreadnoughts attempt to kill him, but the Protector rips off his skin and clothing to reveal his true form, a giant winged humanoid creature. We close with the creature seemingly taking out the Dreadnoughts while Cobra Commander stands and watches with eyes and a smile painted on his mask with his own blood. Thoughts and review.
Who is that? Oh, God. See, this is where my G.I. Joe incompetence comes in.
Because that was a question I was going to have. Does he actually have, like, does that character actually have a name? Like, is that a known character?
That's what I don't know, and I'm going to have to find out. But I listened to your quick hits of this, and again, I will say it's the middle of the thing. It's the middle part of the story. It's the thing of not fully slowed down, but we need to see how Cobra Commander reacts or acts in a situation where he is captured. He doesn't say a damn thing to them. They electrocute him. They do this to him. They do that to him. They try to do something stupid and goofy from The Dark Knight where they paint the Joker face on it. Like, oh, God, don't do that. Like, torture him, fine. Go ahead. Whatever. Don't paint his own blood on his helmet. That's just dumb. But what that serves to do is to show you that he's not going to break. And then we see how he will break them. And how he breaks them is he pits them against each other. So it shows what kind of a genius he is. And apparently the Dreadnoughts are all dumb.
Well, and apparently they're all dead by the end of this issue. So.
Apparently. Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, so I got into a, I won't say a fight, because it wasn't a fight, but I'll do a bit of a discussion with someone online about Cobra Commander himself in this particular issue, in that I said that, essentially, again, kind of like what I'm going to say here, nothing, in my opinion, nothing really happened in this issue, in my opinion. The person I was talking with said that, oh, no, this is showing like how strong Cobra Commander is, right? Essentially, like, right, why he becomes the leader for Cobra. And I'm like, does it show strength in here? Sure, he didn't break. But again, he's got a protector, essentially like a bodyguard. He apparently has, I don't think he's generating this, like, this electrocution that's electrocuting the people trying to torture him. It seems to be like something that's like, auto-initiated self-defense thing, or he got the power of electric eels. I don't know. But yeah, he doesn't, In my opinion, it doesn't show him being strong. It's just, okay, I can take the torture, but in the end, he's not really doing anything. Sure, he's playing mind games and trying to manipulate the dreadnoughts.
Yeah.
But does that show strength? It shows cunning.
Yeah, it shows, like I said, it shows what kind of a genius he is. I don't think he has to show, again, third issue, middle of the road here. Not middle of the road as in bad, but middle of the road as in you don't want to see everything he can do just yet. And plus, he still has the Joker face. Like, wipe the blood off your helmet, dude. As far as the character, as far as his bodyguard, I don't remember if it says it in the comic, and I'm not zooming in. I'm over on League of Comic Geeks or whatever, as I was looking to see what the name of the character was, the bat guy, because at first I thought it was a bat trooper, but it isn't. It's not. It's Nemesis Enforcer is the guy that turns into the giant bat and basically kills everybody. So, yes, he has a bodyguard, but does he need a bodyguard? No. That's the point, is that Cobra La gave him a bodyguard because Cobra La doesn't trust Cobra Commander to do what they want him to do, whereas he might go do his own thing. And that, so that's the thing with the fact that he has a bodyguard. It isn't that he needs one. He doesn't need one. Like, if he needed a bodyguard, then he wouldn't have survived that torture. If he needed somebody to save him, he would not have survived that torture.
I guess, but he's not even human. We don't even know what he is at this point. So maybe, yeah, he would have survived the torture anyways. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just trying to explain, hopefully, as to why the Nemesis Enforcer is there. That's all I'm trying to do.
In my opinion, really, the only thing this issue accomplished was just taking out the Dreadnoughts, which we've been following. I guess they were first talked about at the end of issue one. We saw them in issue two. We see them again here in issue three. So they're taken out after two issues. Now it's just like, okay, well, they're gone now. I thought they were like an important part of G.I. Joe and that they kind of helped out with Cobra when needed. But apparently they're just wiped out now. Don't need them. Just like Major Bud. So, I don't know. Right, we don't find anything else out about the alligators other than there's obviously Energon involved there. Dreadnoughts are gone, and Cobra Commander is now free, just like he was at the beginning of this issue.
Yeah.
So,
pretty much.
So to answer your question from a couple days ago, I'm trying to recall what it was. Is it what was my favorite between the two, or what was my least favorite between the two?
No, what I was trying to ask you was which was your what I because I wanted to see which one we wanted to. My thought was the way that we were going to do this was, since you didn't like Cobra Commander like so much 2 days ago as of this recording, I was like, ooh, we start with the bad stuff and then we go to the good stuff, because I liked I like them both. But I liked Duke more this time. Like, Cobra Commander, again, like I said, it's the middle of the story. Okay, that's cool. I'm not the biggest fan of torture scenes. I can, like you said in your quick hits, you can handle them fine, whatever. It's not my biggest fan thing, but I think Duke is the more interesting of these two issues.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I specifically called out the fact that I think it's torture porn. And it's like, I don't know that we needed that. Again, I it doesn't bother me. I just don't know that we needed it here within the story. And yeah, I don't like the fact that, yeah, are we trying to make him into the Joker here? What's with the face on his mask? We didn't need that. It looks stupid here at the end where we see like the Enforcer guy, I guess his name is, taking out the Dreadnoughts.
Yeah, the Nemesis Enforcer.
Yeah.
Honestly, the best shot in the Cobra Commander comic this week this time around for me is in the bar when I can zoom in and see a nice square glowing Energon cube, because that's cool as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, where did that come from? Right. And it's like, the Energon, right. Energon just isn't in Energon cubes. It has to be put within the cube based on what I know for Energon. Yep. So it's like, okay, well, where did that come from? Who created that? Why do these people have it? How did they find it? Like, I'm more interested in that than knowing anything about Cobra Commander at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I again, I don't, of the two, this was my least favorite, and I think it's I think prior to this issue, I was going to say Cobra Commander was probably my favorite of these two miniseries. That's probably putting it lightly, but it's probably my favorite of the two. But I think after this issue, I've got to go with Duke at this point. I don't know that I like this Cobra Commander series at all. I think issue 3 ruined it for me.
Oh, no. Well, we got to finish this. We can't start this and not finish it. So
I'm going to finish it, but I'm just wondering, like, I don't know how this bodes for the upcoming miniseries of, like, Scarlet and Destro, right? It's like, if I'm having an issue getting through these two, like, what am I going to do when I get to those two?
Yeah. So you had already done a quick hits on this. I sadly missed out on that one, but I will mention they're doing Scarlet and Destro. What I think they are doing with these miniseries, and I know Image Comics and Skybound Entertainment, they are not IDW publishing. That's fine. They're two very different companies. But what I think they're doing, like I said earlier in the episode, number one, they're homaging the fact that G.I. Joe, the animated series, initially started out as a 5-episode miniseries, like all most 80s cartoons did. But what I think they're doing is they're trying to give us character-based stories around characters that might be in a future G.I. Joe ongoing. Because if Skybound has the license for however long they're going to have it, Hasbro wants to see them not only prove themselves, but wants to see them do something more than just these miniseries with G.I. Joe specifically. Transformers is already an ongoing. It's already been whatever. There's already been multiple printings. There's always whatever. We know Transformers is going to be around for a while. But with this G.I. Joe stuff, with the comics, with Skybound, they are testing the waters and giving us little glimpses. And as someone who has been doing comics reading for the last 11 and a half years, I love that. I don't need my comics to wham, bam, thank me, ma'am. I just don't need that. Most of the time, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But these 5-issue miniseries, you have to plot, you have to pace the story. And that's why sometimes you have these. It's what I said to you in one of our very first episodes was that the balance of the action and the story. Sometimes there's an action issue. Sometimes there's a story issue. And then these two series here between Duke and Cobra Commander, issue 3 was the story issue, even though not much really happened. Some stuff did. The introduction of Major Blood, the fact that Baroness, we don't know what she's doing. We don't know what her motives are whatsoever, other than the fact of it looks like she's going to double-cross Duke at the end of this. But who knows? She could dye her hair blonde and they could get married. Oh, wait, that was the old movie.
My counterpoint to that, though, would be if we look at the first Transformers story arc, right? So that was 6 issues. Yep. I think technically, based on our last recording, that probably could have been done in 5 issues, right? Probably could have crammed that together if we removed, like, the Constructicons, right? I don't think there's one issue there where it's like, oh, my God, why is this so slow? It just seems like it picks up and it just keeps going and... right. If we looked at that series as like, okay, it's just like a 6-issue miniseries, or like I said, if we remove one and just say it's a 5-issue, I don't think anything there is comparable to what we've got here, where it's like, okay, this is like slowly dragging on when we get to the end. It picks up and it just keeps going. And this is like, okay, it kind of kicks off and then it's just like going super slow. And the story ends after 5 issues, whereas Transformers just keeps going. It's like, I don't get the thought process there.
I don't think, I don't know, because I don't have issue 5 yet, because it doesn't come out until whenever it's going to come out. Issue 5 of Duke is next week in March, issue 4, I should say. And then Cobra Commander is April 17th. So issue 5 is probably going to be May. Both in May, maybe they'll do that. I don't know. But the thing about the 5-issue miniseries is, who knows? Maybe instead of putting the end at each of these, maybe they'll put to be continued in G.I. Joe number 1 or whatever. We don't know yet what's going to happen. And I kind of like that we don't know what's going, like, I like being on this G.I. Joe journey and learning about these characters individually and really quickly before we move too far away from it. I will say I'm interested in Scarlet and Destro to see what happens with them. I am most interested to see what the Scarlet is, what the Scarlet miniseries is going to do, because as it says here in Skybound's little press release, Red Hot writer, Kelly Thompson from Black Widow, Birds of Prey, Gem of the Holograms, etc., 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 and artist Marco Ferrari from Frontiersmen introduced some of the most anticipated characters to the Energon universe in ways you'll never expect in Scarlet No. 1, launching June 5th, 2024. I've interviewed Kelly a couple of times. I've had her on several podcasts over the years. She's an amazing person. She is a great writer, so I'm all on board for that. As far as Destro, I have no clue, but I'm excited to find out because I've never heard of Dan Waters. I'll have to look him up. Oh, Loki, Universal Monsters. No wonder I've never read any of his stuff, because he writes stuff that I don't really pay attention to. No offense, yeah. Dan. But yeah, no, I'm just kind of excited for the slow ride here, just having fun with it.
Well, so looking ahead here to Duke and Cobra Commander 4 and 5.
Yes.
So the little synopsis here for Duke number 4, Duke is close to discovering the truth about the alien robots that have landed on Earth, but who or what is Mars? And then looking at Duke number 5, it says Duke has been betrayed by his allies and hunted by new enemies. The time has come for Duke to start fighting for something bigger than his country, bigger than he could have ever imagined. To get ready for the last page shocker that no one will see coming.
The last page shocker that no one will see coming. Hint, Duke is going to die.
And if we look at Cobra Commander, so number 4 says, Cobra Commander has found a new ally, willing or not, that may just make him unstoppable. Unless, of course, someone is one step ahead of him. And then closing it out, it says, miniseries finale, The Rise of Cobra Commander. To build an army, Cobra Commander makes a deal with a powerful ally that can't be trusted. Now that it started, can the Cobra threat ever be stopped?
So, translation, folks, get ready for the translation here. It's Megatron. It has to be Megatron, because if you look at some of the variant, if you look at one of the variant covers for issue 4, I didn't look at the variants for issue 5, but on Image Comics' website, it's Cobra Commander holding Energon cubes like he's pulling them off. No, it's not Energon cube. It's straight Energon. It's an Energon crystal, so I don't know where he is in this. I don't think that's the Florida Everglades. I'm pretty sure it's not, but but yeah. And then my favorite cover, alternate cover for Duke number 4, is the one where he's hanging upside down and Baroness is in front of him and her reflection is in the knife. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good cover. Yep. There. So, but yeah, but looking at Cobra Commander number 5, the cover art here shows him standing in front of a Cobra army.
Yep.
So.
And that's the only cover we get so far.
Like, if that's where this series ends, I feel like everything leading up to that does not warrant him controlling an army by the end of this. Like, that's just the leaps taken there to say, hey, I'm this whatever creature, right? Because obviously it's humanoid, but they're not humans based on what I can tell. Yeah. Like, living up in the Himalayas, I got a snake on my face. I go from that. Now I'm leading this army that, or this terrorist organization with this giant army that could potentially take over the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I buy that.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen yet, so let's just...
But there's only 2 issues left.
That's fine. It's fine. There have been other, in the 100 years of comic books, there have been other miniseries that have wrapped up or done it. Again, like I said, even though that says miniseries finale, just because it's the miniseries finale doesn't mean at the end of that it's going to say either the end or to be continued in G.I. Joe number 1 or Cobra number 1 or whatever they're going to do. So we don't know, and we won't know until they come out.
Well, I mean, regardless, getting to that point after 5 issues, they could wrap up the story, but getting to that point after 5 issues, I don't think it justifies it. All right, so closing this out, final thoughts. Are you looking forward to the end of these series then?
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't know if it's just because it's Baroness in there now, but I'm looking forward to Duke more than I was. Cobra Commander, I'm really looking forward to see what happens if Megatron comes back alive, if whatever kind of thing. But yeah, no, I'm kind of on board now. By the end of issue 2 of Duke, I was like, other than the cliffhanger, that whole second issue of Duke, I was like, okay, I'm kind of done with this. I'll continue on because I want to finish this stuff. But after issue 3, I was like, oh, cool. That's good. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it at least had action, whereas with Cobra Commander, sure, there was torture. I suppose you can classify that as action, but I feel like the story just didn't go anywhere. So yeah, I'm sticking with it because we started this. I want to see where it goes. If we're covering the Energon universe here, I'm not having high hopes for Cobra Commander. But if Megatron pops up, hey, I'll be interested in kind of seeing where that goes. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right, plugs. What do you got?
Plugs. Oh boy, let's see. What do we have over at geekcastradio.com? We're continuing on with these 12 months of Star Wars series where we're going through all the movies and all the other stuff with Star Wars with my buddy Dave Draper and I. We've got the video game Origins up and running now, so that's 30 questions all about playing video games. Anyone wants to stop on by with that, just let me know. I'm on Twitter at TFG1Mike. We released an episode reviewing Ford versus Ferrari. Obviously, I finally put up the Void Rivals episode from us and all that. And then we've got, for Altered Geek, we've got Hollywood Go Home, Nobody's Watching the New Stuff, and the State of Video Games in 2024. All of that over on geekcastradio.com. We are the Geekcast Radio Network. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use, but I prefer Spotify. That's just me. That's everything I got.
Sweet. Void Rivals number 8, by the way, coming out April 3rd.
Yeah.
Not too far away. My plugs, anothercomicreview.com. I got it.
You got it in one.
We have a website, so depending on how you're listening to this, you can check that out, anothercomicreview.com. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. And I'm on Blue Sky. Some people obviously have been listening to this because they found me on there. You can find me on Blue Sky at Jesse Early. You can just search for me on there now. You don't have to put in the .bsky.social. It'll come up. All right, so I think that's it. Till next time, this is Jesse signing off.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.